What is going on, guys, and welcome back to the Create Lab podcast. This week, me and Joe decided to sit down and talk about the different fads inside the CrossFit world. We talk about the different shoes that one would wear, whether or not you need trainers or lifters, different belts, and the new thing is wearable tech. I'm a big fan of Whoop. Joe doesn't necessarily buy into Whoop just yet, but We sit down, talk about it, discuss the pros and cons of all the different types of fads or different training tools that we have out there, and we just give our insight into that. So hope you enjoyed this week's edition of the Create Lab podcast. As always, guys, don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think. Talk to you later. What is going on, guys? We're back. Today, you know, last week we talked about, you know, programming for the CrossFit Games, and while we were out there, we saw a lot of, different athletes trying all these different trends and fads and everything else, and so today I figured we'd talk today about the different trends or the different fads that we see inside the CrossFit world, and, things we're talking about, lifting belts, whoops, different type of wearable techs, different apps. So I have Joe here. We're going to talk about, what we've seen in our space and then, what we like, what we don't like as far as all these different trends go. So, Joe, what are you seeing as far as, like, the trends?
All the above. We've seen it all over the years. The wrist wraps, the knee sleeves, the lifters, the changing shoes in the middle of wads. you hit on the whoops. These Apple Watches, pretty much everything. We've been around long enough to see it all. Like you said, there's some things I like, some things I don't, but then also things I understand why people do them, and I understand a lot of times it might be a phase too. So whatever you want to kick it off, start talking about, and then we'll roll into.
First things first, because like when people come in here, when we do on ramps here, the first thing, like, everybody asks me is, what kind of shoes do I need? Like, that's always the first thing that that people ask me, and what kind of shoes do I need for CrossFit? And reality is that's one of the biggest trends and fads I've seen. And, obviously you got your Nanos, your Metcons, your Innovates. You got all these different shoes out there. And, the first thing I tell everybody is don't worry about the shoes that you're going to need. There is no shoe for CrossFit that you need as far as a because we talked about it last week, CrossFit didn't invent anything. Yeah. A regular cross trainer is all you need to start your CrossFit journey. I know back in the day, when we were working at the same gym, there was a, everybody had lifters. And so what's your opinion on lifters?
Well, lifters, it really depends. I think now we've kind of gone to a place and, a lot of people, the sport itself follows Rich Froning, right? So he started doing everything without his lifters. And when that happened, a lot of people started doing stuff without their lift, started teaching themselves to clean, snatch, everything that we would wear lifters for. With that being said, though, I pretty much stay in my Nikes, my quote-unquote CrossFit shoes, as much as possible. I wear these Metcon Free 3s. They look like space shoes. Everybody makes fun of me, but I'm getting old, and they're the only thing I'm comfortable in. I tried the ones you got on, the Reebok. I tried everything, and my knee will hurt in certain shoes. My feet will hurt in certain shoes, so put my ego aside and wear these space shoes.
Yeah, I know. You still got your holes in your shoes, too.
Yeah, I got holes. I got three pairs of holes in them right now because they made the Metcon Free 4, which I don't like the way it fits me. So I don't know what the heck I'm going to do now. I might just give it up. But as far as lifters go, I don't really, with my athletes, I won't tell them, like, don't lift in lifters or lift in lifters. I think it's a personal preference thing. I've seen people go through stages where they're always in lifters, and I've seen them go through stages where they're always in shoes, like regular CrossFit shoes. But, as long as they're moving well, I think I'm okay with them wearing whatever. Me personally, I will put on my lifters when I'm squatting really heavy. I usually do my percentage work, my dynamic work, and everything in my these Nikes here. But when I know I'm going for a, like a big three or a big one or even like a big five set, once I get up past like 70-75%, that's when I throw my lifters on. This might be mental, but I'll start my session in my CrossFit shoes. I feel like after doing my mobility and stuff, this helps me even warm up my ankles even more, trying to stay grounded with these on. And then when I throw on my lifters, I feel like I could really get after it. But that's really the only time I'll wear them now. I just feel like they help with mobility. But personally, myself, I've been working on my mobility lately, which I think is more important than putting on a pair of shoes to help you. And we could talk about mobility apps here in a little bit, but what's your thought on lifters?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way with you. I don't have lifters. I gave my lifters away. What I figure is I'm not the strongest athlete as it is, and having lifters to add an extra 5 to 10 pounds on my squat isn't as important as having the good mobility in the ankle and the calves to get a good lift, you know? And so I'm more of a dynamic effort lifter. I love my dynamic effort days, trying to move fast, trying to move well. So I personally just don't wear lifters. I remember back in the day, you see people go for runs and they'd have their lifters on standby and they'd change their shoes as soon as they came in for their runs, and then they go for a lift. I think a lot of people are over reliant on lifters when it comes down to it. Again, because they don't need the ankle mobility. They don't need the, you know, upright torso, whatever. I've listened to a podcast with Greg Everett, you know, from Catalyst Athletics, and he made a good point. He was like, you know, you don't play baseball in tennis shoes. You play baseball in cleats, so you should lift in lifters.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a valid point, but I think a lot of, especially like CrossFitters or anybody that's not trying to do a one rep max, you know, you should get comfortable lifting in whatever shoes you have, because if you go to an event, if you go to a comp, if you go, or just a regular Metcon, you know, and you have a heavy snatch and you're not comfortable in your lifters or without your lifters, you're screwed.
Yep.
You know? So I tend to tell people just, you know, throw the lifters away. Get comfortable lifting in whatever shoe you have on.
Yeah.
If you're going for a one rep max and you're going for a new PR, you know, whatever it takes. But I'm a non-lifter kind of guy.
I'm with you on that, man. You hit the nail on the head, really, as far as, like, if we were just lifting, it is what it is. But like you said, in CrossFit, you might have to do a Metcon, and then it's a rest 5 minutes, or not even rest in the remaining time, one rep max, whatever, or three rep max, whatever. So you really don't want to waste time stressing about changing your shoes, all that stuff. Also, not even that, what was that open wad? I can't remember what year it was, but it was like double unders, total bar, and it was squat cleans with increasing weight as you went through the squat cleans. So people were doing dubs in their lifters because they were so concerned about the heavy squat cleans. I mean, that's a great example of why we should get comfortable
lifting in our regular shoes. Yeah, whatever,
because, you know, you can't tell me that doing dubs in your lifters it's just uncomfortable. Some people can do it. I just think I'd much rather train myself to be efficient the other way.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel the same way. You know, rolling into that, it's the same thing with lifting belts.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people become over-reliant on lifting belts. And I tell people all the time, you shouldn't be in a belt if you're below 90%. You know, if you can't brace your core below 90% correctly, you need to drop down that weight and start learning how to brace your core without a belt on.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's squats, deads, whatever it is that you're pulling. Again, you're going for one rep max, you're going for a 3 rep max, 5 rep max, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, put a belt on, whatever. But I think a lot of people get too over-reliant on belts.
100%.
Especially guys don't even know how to wear a belt. Yep. You'll see them put the belt on, they leave it on the entire lift, the entire session. And I'm like, hey, if you're not adjusting your belt, you didn't put it on right in the first place.
Yeah.
You know,
yep. Now, like you said, using the core is the most important thing. I mean, you should be able to brace into the belt. As far as belts go, like, I try not to squat with a belt as much as possible. I really don't like to put mine on unless, like you just said, I'm going to max out or something. What I will do and what I will have my athletes do is, let's say they're pretty consistent without the belt at certain weights, and say we're doing triples at 80% or something, and they're just not moving that well that day. Their core might be a little fatigued, and the bar might be moving slower than I think it should. There'll be some days where I'll actually have them drop weight, but there might be days where I'm like, okay, I could see it's in the core today, but they're still pretty strong in the legs, and I might tell them to put a belt on and say, hey, move this with good intent with the belt. Like, don't worry, you're not cheating yourself by putting that belt on. You need it today.
Yeah.
So, like, it's, but, you know, to me, that's just a coach's eye thing that you can do if you have a one-on-one or a small group of people going on. So you could see that, really pay attention to the way people are moving and stuff like that. But, like, throwing belt, like, here's a good example about belts. I got a kid I just started training, and, you know, I'm just getting to learn him, and was going to another gym for a long time, and he just wears a belt for everything. But nobody's ever told him not to, right? So his back probably, you know, CrossFit, people's backs blow up all the time. Cycling barbells, cycling dumbbells, doing burpees, leaning over, skiing, whatever the case may be. We use our back a lot. So guys and girls, their lower backs will blow up. And this kid, everything I've seen from him so far, he's got a belt on, right? So I'm just learning him. We'll talk about it eventually. But I know from my own mistakes that is totally the wrong thing to do. Because when I started CrossFit, I tried to overdo it, tried to do more than I should have, didn't listen to my coaches. Just, you know, come into class, compete, try and move. And I put a belt on for everything.
Yeah.
But my lower back, my posterior chain stayed weak. Never got any stronger because I was hampering myself.
Yeah.
And Nicole Garris, you remember Nicole, she used to wear me out about it. Wear me out. And when I finally started not using it all the time and maybe doing a little less weight in a workout or breaking up stuff sooner, but actually using my core the correct way, I got stronger and stronger and stronger in this area because I took that damn belt off.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like a belt, just like you said, can be a hindrance. It could be a blessing. And if you know you're already not moving well, yeah, put the belt on. Rather not risk the injury for today and lift tomorrow. So it's it could be a hindrance. It could be a blessing. Yeah. But I think a lot of people over rely on their belts.
100%.
I mean, first thing they do is they grab their belts.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, shouldn't be the first thing you do. See how you move first, and then grab the belt if you're not moving well, if you know your core is just kind of not being able to hold tension today.
Yep. One other thing, what I'll do, and you see some of the guys in the games do it, is like when it's competition time, you throw your belt on if you feel like you need it.
Yep.
Right? Like if I feel in this workout, it's going to make me feel a little bit better. It might just be all mental. I'm going to put that damn thing on in competition.
Yeah.
So it might be a wad that if I did it for the last 8 weeks, which I'm exaggerating here, but for the last 8 weeks, if I did this wad, I wouldn't wear a belt. But on game day, if I feel like it's going to give me a tiny bit of an edge, I'm going to put it on.
2-3 seconds is a game changer.
Yeah, and you see those guys at the games wearing belts when they do certain events, you know they're not wearing a belt in training all the time.
Exactly.
That's why their damn cores look like that, because they don't wear a belt. But they'll put it on when they feel like, you know what, what you just said, this might get me one spot, might give me 3 seconds.
Yep.
So, but, you know, just for the everyday gym person, train yourself to mentally and physically learn how not to use a belt. It'll make a huge difference. The sooner you do it, the better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, now we're going to talk about something, you know, it's near and dear to my heart because I've been using it for over a year now, and it's become it's an enlightening tool for me. Whoops, you know, or any kind of wearable tech that you got there. There's the Auras, the Aura rings, there's the Apple Watches, Whoop, things of that nature. Do you use Whoop at all?
No. I've kind of been like a jerk about Whoop, making fun of my friends and stuff that wear it. But I do understand it's a lot of people use it for a lot of good things. I just personally cannot speak on what I think as far as feedback from it and stuff like that, because I have never used it before.
Yeah,
but a lot of my athletes and a lot of my friends and stuff use it. So,
yeah. So Whoop for me, it's a tool. It's another tool to use. Again, it shouldn't dictate your training, and that's I think where a lot of people get confused with it. So if you're not familiar, Whoop is just a wrist strap you put on your wrist, and it gives you four metrics. So you're going to get a daily strain, recovery, sleep. Recovery, sleep, and daily strain. Sorry, three metrics. So you get your three. And based off that, it actually helps me as a coach with my athletes. So what I mean by that is now I can see another data point when they're training. So your recovery is based off your HRV, your resting heart rate, and the amount of sleep you got. Based off that, it gives you recovery scores. You, if you're 33% or below, you're in the red. 34% to 66% is yellow. And then above 66% is green. So now I know what their recovery is like, their sleep, their health, their wellness, things of that nature. So when they're doing this stuff, so when they're, you know, working out, I now have another metric. So for example, if I have an athlete and we did Fran, just random workout Fran, and it's on the docket, it's ready to be programmed, and they had a great recovery score. Well, now we know we should expect to see peak performance in Fran.
Yeah.
If they don't hit a record in Fran, or they, you know, if they're a minute off, 30 seconds off, whatever the case may be, I know that something in their training log didn't correlate to a new PR. What didn't correlate? What were we missing? So then we can go talk about, we were watching videos the other day. We talked about videos last week. Using that video to say, hey, what did we not do correctly that we didn't hit a PR in Fran? However, if they have a poor recovery score and they don't hit a PR, I can say, okay, well, your sleep was off,
yeah,
your resting heart rate was high, you know, you had a poor recovery. That could correlate why we did not see a PR in Fran today. So that's why Whoop, in my opinion, gives me another data point to go off of, whether it's me or them, something they're doing wrong. And because it's a journal, when they go to sleep at night, when they wake up, they log their journal, and it's just a bunch of metrics that you put in, like, I took CBD last night, I stretched out, I did breathing exercises, things of that nature. And that will tell you, hey, when you see a greater recovery score, usually when you do breathing exercise before you go to sleep. So stuff like that will help them with track their progress.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I know I can't remember who it was. It's a NCAA Division I strength coach. The name slipped my mind. I heard it. He was on a podcast a while. I think he was on Travis Mash's podcast. And he said something that kind of stood out to me as far as athletes using the Whoop. And he doesn't want his athletes to use the Whoop. He's old school, you know. Walk in the gym, talk to me, fill out my survey. Basically, he's getting the same information you got through a survey, then he could tell through the way the athlete's moving. A lot of them old school coaches will do the handshake test to see how your grip strength is, to see if you're, you know, if your system's shut down or tired. But he said his fear with the Whoop is, you know, let's say you start not quote unquote babying athletes, but almost letting the recovery thing be a reason to back off, or letting it, oh, it can be an excuse sometimes. And his thing was, what happens when we wake up on Saturday to play Alabama and half my team's got a low recovery score on their Whoop app? You know, like, are they gonna come out thinking, oh shit, I got a low recovery score? You know, it was an interesting thing to hear come from a coach like that, because I never thought of it that way before. But if you think about it, it is a good argument.
No, and that's why I tell people all the time, don't let it control you. Yeah. Your recovery score isn't dictating what you do in the gym today.
Yeah.
I may have a red recovery, but that does not mean that I am not going to work out.
Yeah.
If I feel good to work out, I'm going out there and I'm going to push it.
Yeah.
I'm going to work out today. There's nothing that's going to stop me from working out if I feel like I'm good to work out today.
Yeah.
And that's where athletes need to not let it control them. For me as a coach, though, I can use it as a data point
100%
when I'm doing their stuff.
That I think is awesome, because even if you didn't, let's just say you came in, they gave you that feedback every day, like you saw what their score is, but you don't even discuss it, how they feel, nothing. You could just basically go off their performance, what their score is, and then, like you said, if you track the data, that's something you can really keep an eye on.
And that's a good thing for me, because you create teams on there and I can see everybody's recovery scores beforehand. And again, it all comes to the athlete. If you're an athlete and you let data points dictate your training, it's best not even to look until the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, and then sit there and say, hey, why did I do so poorly in the gym? Then go back and look at what your recovery scores were, what your strain was for the day, and things of that nature. Then go back and look at it. That way you don't let it dictate your
training. Yeah, it's just the old school in me. My pops was the same way. Like, when I see my athletes on Instagram or something, they'll, like, share their Whoop recovery and either, like, have, like, an emotional post about it or, like, a really positive post about it.
Yeah.
Like, I can see, and I'm like, damn it. Like, because I'm already, like, they're thinking this way. Like, you should be thinking, come in and train, and we go based off, you know, if you got stress in your life, you know that stuff, right? So if you come in the gym and you're honest with yourself, let's just say you're going through a lot of shit at work, and you trained hard Monday through Wednesday, and now it's you took a day off yesterday, but your whole day went down drain, your car broke down, you got a flat tire. You come in on Friday, with or without the Whoop, the athlete should know, or should at least be honest when talking to the coach or talking to themselves, like, I'm run down.
Yeah.
Like, this is the day to back off, which I think we probably run into that more, like, athletes that don't know when they should back off.
And that's the thing. You have two types of athletes, right? You got the athlete that's going to look for every excuse why they didn't do well. Oh, my recovery score was off.
Yeah.
I always tell them, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
What else? That's one reason. Yeah. That doesn't mean that's why you should have done poorly today. Or you have the athlete that doesn't know when to stop.
Yep.
You know? And they get so hard on themselves. It's, again, two types of athletes. One that looks for excuses. One that just gets so damn hard on themselves about why they're not hitting records. I mean, yeah. Every athlete, I tell people all this all the time, you're not going to PR every time you go for a one rep max back squat. I don't care what cycle, how many cycles, whatever you're doing, you won't PR every time you go for a one rep max back squat. How I know this? Because then the world record squat would be over 1,200 pounds.
Yep.
If Dave Hoff went out there every day and squatted, he'd eventually have, at this point,
God knows,
he would have a 3,000-pound back squat, as much as he squats. But he doesn't get, you know, hyped up over one PR.
Yeah.
You know, I think in that West Side documentary, I think he said he trained 4 years for 5 pounds on the back squat. It was like, if you're an athlete and you're getting frustrated over a PR every time you go out there, you know, then you're too hard on yourself. And Whoop, you know, again, gives you that score, gives you something. Another valuable tool, in my opinion, other than this stuff, you know, we live in the day and age of COVID. You know, I never tested positive. Afterwards, I figured I had COVID based off my Whoop scores. I just went from a green recovery to a red recovery the next day, and my respiratory rate skyrocketed. And that's what, you know, NFL teams and stuff like that are able to use it for. They got a strength coach and look at it and see a respiratory rate skyrocket. You now know, hey, I need to go get tested.
I think one of the coolest tools that those big-time teams are using now and stuff is, like, the GPS systems and the velocity systems. You know, like, stuff that's it's probably a little the systems they use at the D1 level and the pro level. I mean, they're tracking these guys on the field every day with the GPS system, seeing how far they're running, like what position runs how much in practice.
Yep.
What part of that running is actual sprints, what part of that running is at 60%, 70%, and then they're going to the gym and saying, okay, our wide receivers put this much volume in on the field this week, so we know we got to back them off in the gym, right?
Yep.
Or my bigs did this much on the field, there wasn't that much volume, so we could really hammer it in the gym. It's pretty amazing. Like, if that style could ever get into, like, you know, I don't think we have enough athletes to be able to do that, like, competitive, like, let's just say you were running a CrossFit gym that was just full of competitive athletes, then you can use a system like that.
Yeah.
Right? But just for, like, one or two or three people, but the one thing you can use, and I think everybody should use, and I plan on using it in the near future and tracking data and stuff, is like those velocity.
Yeah, trackers. I got that on my thing to talk about here shortly. But, you know, going back to Whoop real quick, what I love to use it for me as a coach is, and you know this, but a lot of athletes don't understand it, is that you can't go 100% every single day.
Yep.
You know, and for the general, everyday, just I'm here to be fit athlete, you should go try your best to go 100% every single day.
I love that you said that.
you should try to go 100% every single day. Why? Because your rest days are not dictated by any training cycle.
Yeah.
When you feel like you can't go 100%, take your rest day, and then come back the next day and work out hard again.
Yeah.
But
a lot of those people only come in 3 days.
Exactly. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're getting your you can go 100% every day. Yep.
That's the way. That's the model CrossFit was built on.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. But a competitive athlete that's trying to do this for a, you know, competitive sport of CrossFit, you cannot go in 100% every single day. No good strength coach or good coach at any sport is going to make their athletes go. You go in cycles. There's a reason you do weightlifting cycles where you go 75% today and then you go 95% another day, and you do waves of strength training. You should do waves of intensity training too. You know, and for me, Whoop allows me to do that because now it tells you my heart rate as I'm going along. And so I can look at that and say, hey, I don't want you going above 80% today. You got a competition on Saturday. Today's not the day to go 100%. Today you're just moving. I want you to put some intensity in, but I don't want you to go above 80% heart rate. You know, or if I'm doing a workout where we're trying to PR, I didn't PR, what happened? You didn't get your heart rate up past 80% today.
Yeah.
Meaning you set a gear in your mind and stopped. Something in your mind shut off at 80%.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Henshaw talks about it all the time. Your body's like a car, has 5 gears. You should be able to get a 5th gear, and you should be able to hang out in 1st gear. Mm-hmm. You should be able to know what gear you're training in. And Whoop helps a competitive athlete do that, sitting in certain gears. You know, if I'm going for a quick workout like Fran, I want to spike that heart rate. I want to hold it there. But if I'm doing a long workout like Murph, you can't sustain a 90 to 100% heart rate for the entire workout of Murph. You know, complete opposite end of the spectrum. So for me as a coach, if I'm sitting there with somebody's Whoop, hey, back it off a little bit. Back it off. Back it off. You're going to bonk out at some point, you know, in this workout. So for me as a coach, that helps out a lot too.
Yeah, I agree with that. 100% with the Whoops and the Apple Watch and all that, heart rate monitors, I think that is something you really should pay attention to, because like you just said, you should be training in those different zones. I don't like labeling zone 1, zone 2, all that stuff, because when you're dealing with individuals and you have a group of people, it might be a completely different intensity for somebody.
Yep.
You know.
And again, it's different. Like the everyday fitness athlete.
Yep.
If you're coming into CrossFit gym on a Monday, 100%.
Yep.
Tuesday, 100%. Yep. Wednesday, if you're only able to give 80%, you're just moving. And hey, there's some days that hey, you just want
to
move. And
I was talking to I was actually talking to my wife about that the other day, because you know she comes here.
Yep.
And she's doing really well right now, but she's used to scaling weights, just the way she always has. But she's getting fitter. She's getting stronger. She can move faster. She can move more weight. And I broke it down back to what we learned in level 1 with mechanics, consistency, and intensity.
Yeah.
The intensity is a big part of getting better.
Yep.
Like you have the mechanics, and then you're consistent at it. Yeah, you've been doing the same 55-pound barbell for the last 8 years. You're really consistent, and your mechanics are really good. Put the 65 on there. Put the 75 on there. Go a little faster. Go a little harder. Do a bigger set and find out where you break down, where the intensity breaks you down. And then that's when you know, okay, this is where my fitness is right now. Then you break it back down. And same thing you just talked about, like cycles and lifting.
Yeah.
Same thing with the fitness. Go 100%. Once you move well, once you're doing everything correctly, go 100% and find out where your breakdown is. And then you know, like, okay, my goal is to get past here. And I think that's key for, like you said, the people that walk in this door every day. Once they move well and they're doing stuff correctly, that's the intensity is where you find out.
Yep.
Where your fitness is.
A lot of people can't get to that 90 to 100% heart rate. They don't realize they can't get there. They think they're working hard, but then if you check their heart rate, they're not getting to that 90 to 100% heart rate. They're letting their mind tell them, hey, I'm at 90 to 100%.
I have this argument with athletes all the time. They'll be doing a movement, and they're looking at me, rolling their eyes like, look, they want to kill me. And I'm like, what? And they're like, it's so hard. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, the way you're moving is still perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you're not nowhere near a physical breakdown. It's all mental right now. Like, if you're moving this well still, I'm not saying you need to go faster. You might need to take a breath. Yeah. But that weight is not too heavy.
No.
Like, they'll do like a cluster or a thruster or something in the middle of a workout, and they're looking at me, rolling their eyes, giving me a death stare. And I'm like, what's the issue? And they're like, this is too hard. And I'm like, no, it's not. Wait till I show you the video. If it was anybody else, you would be telling them how easy it is.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like it's too hard.
Yeah. Mentally, you know? You're shutting yourself down. Yeah. Mentally. And that goes back to that, you know, hey, maybe you do need to take a day off. Maybe you're so hyper-focused on this being a heavy weight when in a normal day, it's an easy weight for you.
Yeah. I don't even think it's that. I think it's the people... Like, some people just don't know. They never push their limits.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm not talking about, like, someone who's been there before. I'm talking about people who they might just be approaching the new level of fitness, but they've never really tried it. They've never gone this hard. And then now they think, like, okay, I won't stop now because this is getting hard.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not why you're here. If you're coming in this door every day and you're paying to come here, and you're surrounding yourself with these kind of people, you want to get better.
Yeah.
Whether at something, whether it's fitness, your job, your mentality, your relationship, right? So, like, when you hit that breaking point, push through it. Find out what you're made of.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'll be proud of yourself on the other end.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, again, I say this all the time to people. If you let something as simple as a workout break you down, what's it going to be like when real world hits you outside?
Yeah.
When your car breaks down on the side of the road and then you get into a fight with your spouse as you're going home and you realize you also have to shop and like the real world stuff hits you. If you let a workout break you down, real world's going to kick you in the teeth when you get out there.
That's true.
Yeah, so, you know, that's my opinion on Whoop. You know, we got our opinions on Whoop. Like I said, I like to use it for that, especially as a coach. It allows me to get a different data point.
Yeah.
As far as
I won't lie, I've been kind of stubborn about it. I do understand it's a important tool there. I mean, people are using it everywhere.
I didn't realize how bad my sleep was until I wake up every day and I'm tired, and I didn't realize how much sleep debt I was in. Because I remember going to bed and I'm like counting my hours of sleep, and then realizing with this on, I'm waking up multiple times throughout the night.
Yeah.
You know, and my sleep debt today is like 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, that's what, you know what I'm saying? That explains why I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah. You're sleeping when I walked in here.
So it's like, it's one of those things. So yeah, Whoop allows me as a coach to see different data points. And as long as you as the athlete don't let it control you, who cares what your recovery score is? And again, that may be something that you need to do. If you're one of those people that does that, wait to the end of the day to look at your recovery scores, because you cannot let some piece of technology control how you feel in the gym. If you feel great, push it. Yeah. Let's go. Let's see what you got.
That's always been my argument. We live in a day of technology. So that's my biggest thing is when people walk in the gym, like, you know, if you need to work today, you know, and we, like I said, there is a time where you have to tell people, like, hey, go home.
Yeah.
It's all right. You know? Like, I'm the first one to tell you, suck it up, man up, when I think you're being soft. But there's been plenty of times where I'm like, yo, take the weight off or don't even do this piece today. Just finish the lifting. Do a little bit of accessory. You just got to know when those days are those days.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
So, and I guess if you are honest with yourself, that the Whoop can definitely help you.
Yeah. You know, since you brought it up, you know, earlier, you know, the velocity trackers and the GPSs and stuff like that, those are all also, you know, really cool, valuable tools as far as that stuff goes. For those that don't know, you can put, you know, it's like a clip you put on your bar and it tests the velocity of the bar that you're lifting. And if you're, for those that, you know, that know, Olympic lifting is a velocity sport.
Yep.
You know, how fast can you move the bar?
Yep.
You know, I don't care. That's why a power lifter, they can deadlift 800 pounds, but their clean is nothing. You know, because there's one that lifts the bar slow, and there's one that has to lift the bar with velocity. And if at different heights of the bar in a clean or a snatch, the velocity has to change. You know, I tell people that all the time, that when you yank the bar off the ground, you know, and you see it as a coach, you see, like, especially like novice lifters, you know, I'm, myself included, when we lift the bar off the ground, they tend to yank it off the ground. And I tell people, if you lift the bar fast right off the ground, it has no choice but to slow down.
Yep.
You know, it should be a slow and controlled ascent to the knees, and then, not slow, but it should be a controlled ascent to the knees. And then from there, you got to be able to flip that switch and accelerate that barbell if you want it to go anywhere.
Yeah, when you're pulling that bar off the ground, you should be trying to apply force through the ground, right? You should, you know, you should be thinking about driving through the ground to bring that bar up. And I think that's where velocity can be key if your people squat correctly or if they do their pulls correctly. Because if you can get really good feedback on that, as far as if you're driving through the ground in your squats and you're staying in good positions, and you know if somebody's moving 70, 75, 80% the way they're supposed to be, or even faster, that's when they're primed to lift well.
Yeah.
You know, like what I've done with my athletes, like I just had two big back squat PRs recently, and basically what I do is velocity training, but I just do it by my eyes. Yeah. Right? So like I see these people so much that I know like so-and-so's moving so slow, or this is a weight I've never seen so-and-so move this fast.
Yeah.
So when I see that, I'm like, hey, we're going to go for it today. Like, yeah. I pretty much could guarantee you're going to PR.
Adjust training that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could just see it. And that's where I think I'm going to get that flex unit. The flex unit's probably the cheaper one. None of them are super cheap.
Yeah.
But I want to use it because what I see with my eyes as far as velocity goes, I would like to get, like, actual data on
points. Yeah.
And be able to track that because – one, I think it'll help me do better at my job on a daily basis, but it'll help me in the future as far as programming goes and coaching down the road where I'm like, okay, I have all this data of when things went well, when things didn't go, and I can correlate it to where we were in the program, and I can go, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, but that's huge right now in the strength and conditioning world. And, I mean, you know, Travis Mash, he has some of the best Olympic lifters in the country. He was a powerlifting world champion. And this guy is pretty much changing the way he does everything because of velocity.
Yeah.
Like, he was old school, heavy all time. I mean, a lot of other smart training things, but they got after it. Now, he had Ryan Grimsland, who just went and won the Pan Ams or whatever it was. So he spent the last however many months just doing velocity training. And the guy just blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
Blew it out of the water.
And, you know, we talk about, you know, dynamic effort lifting and everything else. And dynamic effort lifting means absolutely jack shit if you're not actually doing training to a velocity.
Yep.
You know, 0.8 meters per second.
That's the biggest thing when I try to teach people that. They get so hell-bent on the percentage that's written down.
Percentage means far less than the speed that you need.
And I'm like, if we take off 20 pounds off the bar, you cannot have your feelings hurt because you're not getting out of this training piece what you're supposed to be getting. You're basically squatting for no reason right now.
Yep.
Right? But we have to find that sweet spot where this athlete, athlete A might be able to move to 70% exactly the way it's supposed to be or even faster. But athlete B might not be able, they just might not be that kind of athlete. They might not be that fast, they might not be that powerful. We might have to drop you down to 60% and get the proper speed and build the strength in those positions to get to 70%.
Yeah, we talk about that. Like, you got your fast twitch muscles and you got your slow twitch muscle fibers. So you got to be able to train both types of muscle fibers. And if people are only training slow twitch and you're squatting nice and slow, like you're maxing out, but you're only doing 75%, you're missing the point. You're, like you said, squatting just to squat. And it's being able to adjust your training to attack the fast twitch muscle fibers. You know, and these velocity training tools are just that. Like, they will help dramatically.
And I hate when an athlete gives me, well, I can't move fast like that. And I'm like, yes, you can. If you can move that fast, we might have to go down 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And then in a few weeks, it'll be 25 pounds. Then it'll be 20. And if you take the time to approach these squats with the right intent, you will eventually move this 70% the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
But you have to drop your ego and come down the 30 pounds and do the 5x5 or 6x4, whatever it is. And then next week, creep up. Next week, creep up. Next week, creep up. And eventually you will move that. You know, you might not be the fastest person ever, but you will be able to move it properly. Everybody can.
Yeah.
If they train correctly, everybody can move those weights the way they're supposed to be moved.
That's what kills me when I see people doing like bandit training. Yeah. When they do bandit squats and they just throw a band on there and they're like, oh, I'm doing bandit squats. And like you see, they're slacking the band at the, you know, majority of the lift, and then it hits them and they just squat the rest of the way up. You have to know what tension's on that band. You have to know what you're doing with those bands when you do banded squats. They have their place. And a lot of people just put it on there. That's the problem. Like we talked about last time in online coaching with a lot of people, because they'll put banded squats on there and everyone's banded squats are different.
Yeah. You know? The people I train at home, I use bands.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly what the bands are. Yep. We measured them.
You have exact measurements.
And I know
the hookup's the same every time. Yep. I noticed. The same.
And I know who has to go less than their percentages because of the way the bands are. I'm not going to put them in all different. So I just subtract the weights. So for 70, it might not be 70. 50 for somebody, it might be 40%. Yep. Right? But it's easy because, like I said, it's easy for me. I don't have a lot of people. But when I deal with people through online training, a few people that I deal with, it's always percentages. Because like you said, if I can't be there to make sure the bands are being used correctly, I'm doing a bad job if I give them.
Yeah.
You know, like I got one guy, he used to train with us all the time. He actually coached at the old gym with me, and he knows what he's doing with the bands.
Yeah.
He uses bands.
Yeah.
Because he's a coach. He understands strength and conditioning. He's one of my favorite dudes. But outside of him, nobody uses. Everybody will just go percentages.
Yeah.
And the same thing. Like when I write my program, I put it. The people probably hate me. They probably get annoyed. But I'll have asterisks, asterisks, asterisks. Move the bar correctly. Make sure you have good speed. Make sure you have good drop weight. Like if I was saying it in person, it'd be coming across as like a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's how I'm saying it in here, because it's, you could beat it, you know, a horse till it's dead. It's not going to listen. But no, I think that's where those velocity training things are key, though, because then you have data to prove to them, like, hey, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what I'm talking about, but this is what we got to do to fix it. So I have data for me, but then I have data to show the athlete, like, either I've been wrong or you've been wrong. This is what we got to do to fix it. Or we're doing this shit right. Look how strong you're getting. Let's keep doing it.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times, especially like we talk about Olympic lifting, it's a velocity sport.
Yep.
How fast can you move the barbell? And if you're not moving it at the right speed at the right time, because we have athletes all the time that I can hang clean more than I can clean from the ground. Tell you exactly what you're doing wrong.
Yep.
You're lifting it too fast off the ground.
Yep.
You know, lifting it from the hang, you're being able to accelerate the barbell at its proper positions.
Yep.
You know, once it hits the knee, that's where the, you know, back picks up most of the tension. And now I need to accelerate the bar. But a lot of athletes have weak lower backs. So as soon as it gets to the knees, they immediately slow the barbell down. And then you'll see the classic clean shrug when they're supposed to be trying to clean it.
Yep.
You know, they'll clean and shrug, and I can't get it.
Yep. Or, like you said, with the weak lower backs, then they just go out of position because they will go to a position that's more comfortable.
Yep.
Instead of being able to stay in the hinge longer or stay over the bar, they'll come into that squat underneath the bar because it's going to take tension off their back. But it just, you know.
No, and again, as long as you don't let it control you, it's a data point. It's, you can look at it, you can say, okay, I need to learn how to accelerate the bar. And so now when you're doing clean pulls, clean, you know, snatch pulls, you know what you as an athlete need to focus on.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm accelerating the bar, right? Maybe I need to get more of a shrug pull under this.
Yep.
Or if, you know, if the bar is slowing down, I'm focusing too much on pulling the barbell with the arms, not actually accelerating the barbell by leg extension and driving through the floor with the legs. I'm not accelerating the bar. I'm pulling the bar.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So it's an interesting tool, and I'm interested in getting some feedback with that.
Everything,
as well.
Like I said, I believe in velocity. It all goes back to Louis and learning, you know, the importance of it. And the way he talked about it just with his eye and his brain to me is amazing, because how many years later people are making devices to try and do it, right?
Yep. It's like it always goes back to this stuff.
Yeah, you know, people call him crazy, but a lot of it he was right about. Maybe he's, you know, not right about everything, but every little bit and piece of it, someone has taken something from him. But, you know, that's just my thoughts as far as what I've researched and first-hand experience, though. It's all just been with the eye. I really want to get one so I could see, you know, what kind of data I could keep. Because I think it's, to me, that stuff is really cool from the research and everything. I think it's a no-brainer. Because you keep your people healthy, too.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you keep your people healthy.
Yeah, so, I mean, we talk about all the different trends, fads, and stuff like that that we see in the CrossFit world. I think what, you know, just to kind of close out the subject, really, is that everything you have is a tool.
Yep.
I shouldn't dictate my training based off that. If you know, I should be able to do snatches in my runners. You know, am I going to PR my snatch? Probably not. But I should be able to snatch in my runners.
Yep.
If you can't come in the gym and just lift with what you have on, and I see that, you know, if I'm traveling on the road, man, I should just be able to walk into any gym and just work out. That's the whole point of what we're doing, is being able to just throw down wherever I'm at. Am I going to set records? Probably not. But I should be able to and comfortable lifting whatever I have. I shouldn't need a belt to lift. I shouldn't need lifters to lift. I shouldn't need my Whoop to tell me if it's a good day or a bad day to train. These are all tools, and as long as you don't let these fads, you know, if you're just looking for fitness and you're just coming in the gym today, you should be able to just, again, who cares what you have on? Let's go.
Yep.
Let's lift.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. And like we said, we've seen the evolution of this the last decade or so in this sport slash you know, fitness field. You just hit the nail on the head, man. I travel so much during the baseball season, and the nicest thing now is I throw my damn jump rope in my bag.
Yep.
And I make sure I have enough, you know, different shorts and t-shirts, because I sweat like an idiot. So I want to have enough stuff if I'm on the road for a weekend to, but that's it. You know, I'm not taking lifters and knee sleeves and belts. Like, yeah, I use that stuff, but like when I'm on the road, I can take my jump rope, probably my gymnastic straps, which we didn't talk about. And I throw those in my bag and I know I'm good to go. I could drop into any gym and I could work out, you know? So I think, like you said, they're all tools. There's a place to use them when we need to use them, but we should be able to just go up to the park and get a workout in. We should Absolutely. Be able to drop in anywhere on the road, get a workout in. I should be able to walk in there right now with you, as long as I got my moon shoes on, and get a workout in. And
I mean, you did that one day. You just came in the gym, just woke up maybe 2 hours beforehand, just showed up. What are we doing?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, I think I got like an hour of sleep that night. I came back, and that's the morning Amy wanted me to come up here, right? Yeah, what was it like?
It was wall ball, row. It's spike on bat.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a benchmark.
Yep.
Nice. I hated every second of that. I hated every second of that morning, but it was fun. It was fun to come meet up Amy up here and to come work out at your gym. I always like coming up here. So, other than that, man, get on the road. And you got anything else?
Nah, man.
Joe, I'll see you this weekend.
Like always, appreciate you coming down. Yeah, man. Mayhem on the Mountain this weekend. We'll talk next week and we'll figure out how Mayhem on the Mountain went.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. That'll be fun.
Hell yeah, cool. Brother. All right. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.